listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a program developed at UW-Madison is helping preschool kids learn kindness and empathy. We'll find out how the lessons are being incorporated into the new season of Sesame Street.
First, researchers at UW-Madison built a computer simulation tool that allows communities to map their vulnerabilities to extreme rainfall without experiencing the real thing. They've developed this technology in recent years. They call it Extreme Storm Transposition.
They're able to look at a storm that already happened in one place in Wisconsin and model what the damage would look like if it had hit another place. This computer modeling is valuable as climate change makes the upper Midwest more susceptible to frequent and intense rains. Scott Gordon reported on this simulation technology. He's associate editor of WisConText.
Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk about this simulation effort. What are these researchers trying to do here?
Well, really the whole point was that climate change and the consequences thereof are kind of an abstraction to a lot of people. And when it comes to flooding projections and concepts like the 100-year flood and 500-year flood and so forth, there's all kinds of debate about those things, and it doesn't necessarily drive things home for people. So the idea was that by taking a storm that had happened and was kind of in recent memory, and where people had really seen the kind of human and environmental fallout of it, and by kind of shifting it somewhere else, they could sort of get people to see that their cities had vulnerabilities to these kinds of storms if they were to happen there.
So the first run on this uses a real-life rainfall situation in Wisconsin in the Dells, Lake Delton area. Can you talk about that flood?
Right. So this was the flood in June of 2008, and there was rain over several days that eventually caused Lake Delton, for example, to wash out into the Wisconsin River. Washed out a section of County Highway out there, and created, of course, all kinds of destruction right around the peak tourism season for people in that area.
And then they took that flood, if I understand this correctly, and said, okay, what if this rainfall happened somewhere else? And they parked it over Dane County for their simulation.
That's right. And again, the whole point here was that storm happened, 50 miles from here, could have easily blown this way. Somehow,
right, with rainfall, something that happened here, with if things had tweaked a little differently in the weather, it could have hit 50, 100 miles away.
Right. And so, again, something that's a little bit more concrete for people to get their heads around than, well, you can expect X level of flooding every 100 years or every 200 years or so forth.
Right. And because it's a 100-year flood doesn't mean it won't happen next year
right.
If things break the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do they take this kind of rainfall? How do they do this? How do they transpose and try to figure out what this kind of rain would do in another place?
Well, essentially they use, federal weather data about what happened in the time frame of that storm in that area. So they're able to kind of determine the sheer amount of rainfall over time and things like that. And the model cannot account for everything. There's kind of a saying among researchers who use models that all models are wrong, but some are useful, I believe, is the the thing that people say about that. The idea is you can kind of get a sense of where Madison or another city, if you applied this kind of modeling somewhere else, would be vulnerable and where some of the biggest impacts would be and what kinds of choices people could make ahead of time to maybe mitigate those impacts and, make them a little less dire.
We'll get into that in a bit. Can you talk about the researchers? Who's behind this effort?
Well, the kind of chief investigators on this were Ken Potter, who's a retired civil engineering professor at UW-Madison, and David Liebel, who is a stormwater expert and engineer, also recently retired, who worked with UW Extension and had, I believe, other appointments kind of within the UW system.
So what did they find when they took the best model they could come up with, parked that 2008 storm over the Madison area? What did it look like in their projection?
Well, what they found was that there would be a lot of very significant, possibly catastrophic flooding in central Madison. You know, if you look at some graphics they generated at the time, you see kind of large swaths of the Isthmus area, which for people not in Madison is kind of the central area of the city between Lake Monona and Lake Mendota. Large areas of it are kind of covered in water, and this would have affected, you know, neighborhoods elsewhere in the city, possibly shut down the airport and things like that, and just, you know, really created havoc, especially in these low-lying areas where, you know, they were built up a long time ago, and the infrastructure is old, and the storm sewers can only do so much to get that water out of there.
Talking to Scott Gordon from WisContext about efforts to project the impact of heavy rainfall, severe weather events in communities around Wisconsin. And I think a key point that comes out of this, Scott, that you wrote about is we think of floods as a natural disaster. I'm doing air quotes there, but it seems like a really big part of the natural disaster is what we've built, how we've built a city, whether it's Madison or any other community around Wisconsin. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So the choices that people make when building new development, building roads, you know, expanding basically the human footprint on the landscape makes, you know, a huge difference in where rainwater ends up when it falls. You know, if you're adding more pavements and more roofs and things, then the water that comes down when it rains is going to have less opportunity to kind of seep back into the ground, you know, and or, you know, replenish the groundwater, and more of it's going to kind of run off on the surface, and that's called runoff, and it's going to end up in lakes and rivers. It's going to end up in storm sewers, and basically, as people kind of develop the landscape, that's just going to put more water kind of running off and more on the surface and interrupt kind of that natural cycle of that rain and groundwater has and those kind of more natural ways that water is controlled.
And is the thinking behind this model, again, putting rainfall, seeing what extreme rainfall would look like in a community, is the goal to have local planners, local politicians look at this and say, oh, we should think about this as we make decisions for the future?
Yeah, exactly. And basically, you know, the point that a lot of folks have made is that to some extent you are stuck with choices that were made a long time ago. You know, you can't necessarily go back into downtown Madison and retrofit all these old storm sewers with something better. At least if you did, it would be, you know, incredibly expensive and arduous. But as you're building new development, you can make better choices about what kinds of storm sewers you put in, what kinds of strategies you employ in building to kind of prevent flooding or at least, you know, mitigate the impact of flooding. And, you know, there's, you know, obviously all kinds of other choices that people can make about, you know, whether it's, you know, adding more green space or building rain gardens or building green roofs or what have you to sort of make that impact a little bit less significant, give that water that's coming down some more places to go that aren't surface water and storm sewers, you know, or ultimately, God forbid, buildings and streets.
And is the plan to use this model and check out other communities around the state? Are they going to keep replicating this modeling experiment?
Well, right now, the model is sort of wrapped up as far as these two researchers are concerned. Of course, it's something that researchers in the future can build on. You know, after they published their findings, they did have a lot of discussions with local and regional officials in the Madison area about, you know, what kinds of things can we do to strengthen, you know, stormwater ordinances and things like that. Again, things that govern new development as it happens and attempt to mitigate some of the impacts that new development has on stormwater runoff.
Discussions were had. I mean, did this model start to impact decisions already, or is it just now part of the conversation?
Well, it's led to a lot of recommendations about what people should do. I'm not 100% certain, actually, how much of it has been translated into policy, but it's something that people are thinking about. You know, one thing that Ken Potter, one of the researchers, told me was that he wanted to get people's attention. You know, and of course, there's this whole abstraction at work here, again, not just with 100-year floods and the like, but also with the fact that climate change is expected to, you know, increase the amount of extreme rainfall that we see. And of course, the relationship between climate change and a given weather event might be very nuanced, but he sort of wanted a way to, again, make that seem a little more concrete. And I think kind of the discussions that came out of that sort of demonstrate how he sees that playing out.
Scott, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Rob.
Scott Gordon is associate editor of WisContext. He was telling us there about the UW-Madison computer modeling tool that maps extreme storms on communities to see how they'll hold up.